The Bible reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 26. It can be found on page 1103 in your Bibles. That's Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 26. This is following Paul's escape from Damascus. When Paul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Rachel, and I'm married to Matt, who did the baptism. And I'm going to be giving our talk this morning. So, since Christmas, our talks have been about how to share our faith with our friends or family, and we're now moving into a new series on discipleship, which just means coming alongside people in order to move them on in their faith. I'm sure we all appreciate the people who have been with us in our journeys and encouraged us, and today we'll think about how we can come alongside others as well. So, for some of you, the word disciple might be a bit unfamiliar. It probably makes you think of Jesus's 12 disciples. A disciple is merely a follower. I guess a more kind of modern word would be a pupil or an apprentice. In this talk, I will use the word discipleship to mean how we as Christians will either come alongside people who are yet to find a faith in God or a fellow Christian in order to help them to grow in their life as a Christian. Matt and myself are really passionate about discipleship. We believe it's really important. We long to see those without a faith discover God, but we also really long to help people to know God better. Discipleship helps Christians to move from an infant-like faith to one that is mature and flourishing and enriching. Discipleship safeguards us from dropping away. Over the years, we've seen too many friends kind of drift away from God and the church, and that always makes us really sad. And we really believe that discipleship can be key in protecting and nurturing faith so that this hopefully doesn't happen. And, you know, we find that faith, like life, has ups and downs. And we love to meet and talk with people and kind of help them hang on in there when they're having doubts or questions. My own journey of faith has been one of coming to know God as an adult. I grew up in a non-Christian family and I became a Christian at uni when I was 21. And looking back, there were three particular friends who were really key in my journey to faith: Peter and Chloe, and a girl I lived with at university called Lana. They witnessed to me and they discipled me. They answered my questions. They told me what they believed and why. And I could just see they had this kind of certainty and peace that I didn't have. It was kind of missing in my life. And so I wanted to know more about what they thought. I sought them out and they spent quite a lot of time talking with me. And now I understand, praying for me too. As a result, I eventually said, okay, I think I want to be a Christian too, but how do I do that? And having made that decision, my whole way of thinking transformed and subsequently my life. I joined a church and my three friends continued, and plus the couple who led the church, they invested hours of their time into helping me grow in my newfound faith. We had long conversations. They explained bits of the Bible that I didn't understand. They talked with me about stuff that had happened before I'd become a Christian, and they taught me about the need to forgive people and let go of stuff. But they also helped me turn my life around. Becoming a Christian, I had to make some lifestyle choices for the better, and I was at uni at this point, so you can probably guess the sort of things that had to change. Having found a faith, these friends and my church leaders helped me to grow in it and to make choices to protect my faith. They welcome me into their lives and their homes, which as a student helps supplement my otherwise pasta-based diet. And they help me to see, most importantly, how God could use me. I was really eager to tell other people about God. I think all of my friends could see that something massive had changed in my life, and they didn't totally understand why I was suddenly so different. But I just wanted to share this good news, this kind of key to happiness that I'd found. And my church leaders totally backed me in that, and more than that, they equipped me to do that well. I still have people in my life today who support me. I think it's vital for every believer to have people alongside you. I'm part of a prayer triplet, and two friends, Kat and Kim, who I met when Matt was training at Vicar School. They're also married to curates, so they totally get the kind of pressures on our life and what life being married to a curate is like. I probably share with them on a deeper level than I do with most of my friends, and I know that I can totally trust them. I also have a kind of spiritual mentor called Kerry. She's a church leader along with her husband. They lead a church in London, and I actually heard of her through her husband. He was teaching a course in Bristol when we were there training. And, you know, he just kept kind of mentioning her here and there, and it just sounded like she had an incredible gifting. And I thought, gosh, I could learn so much from this woman. My time with her is like gold. As I said, they live in London, and I think I'd probably travel further than that to spend time with her. I really felt that she could help me to grow in my gifting. I felt I'd kind of got to a point where more was expected of me, and I didn't know where to go from there. But they've been doing this for longer. Stuart's been a vicar for about 20 years, I think, and they're that much further ahead of myself and Matt that, you know, she guides me in my own personal faith, but also in my ministry at church, which means the kind of job that I do here. And I felt a bit like Elisha was with Elijah, that I'm like, teach me everything you know. I need to know more. And so I kind of persevered. I couldn't get in touch with her straight away, but I persevered, and she's a great support to me. So today, Lydia and Dan and the godparents have committed to journey with Felicity and Eloise as they grow up and as they grow in their faith. And I'd encourage you to think, who do you have in your life? Is there someone you can talk to on a deeper level about life and faith? Who do you have who prays for you? Do you have someone who's a bit further on in their faith and their ministry who could support and guide you? And I had a lot of questions as a non-Christian and as a new believer. What questions do you have, and who could you turn to for answers? Our reading this morning was about how Barnabas and Paul worked together. What then can we learn from the way these two men worked together? And how did Barnabas encourage and disciple Paul? For those of you who are not familiar with these characters, I'll try and kind of catch you up a little bit. Saul, or Paul as he became known later on, was a Jew who didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God or the Messiah. And the Messiah was someone the Jews were waiting for, God's chosen one who had been predicted to come and save Israel. Paul believed, therefore, that Jesus was a blasphemer because he was saying that he was God, claiming to be God, and Paul didn't believe that was true. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and so therefore he was systematically searching out Christians, Jesus's followers, to have them killed. And he was on his way to Damascus for this very reason when he was struck blind by a bright light, and Jesus himself appeared to him on the road and told him to stop persecuting his followers. Paul actually thought he was doing God a favor. You know, he really thought that Jesus had it wrong. He thought he was standing up for God. And I can't imagine how grief-stricken he must have been to realize how wrong he was. And he became a believer that day, and a really powerful one at that. So Paul now finds himself blind. His whole worldview is shattered. The things he thinks he knows about the God he's believed in all his life seem to be wrong. And also now he's in terrible danger too. There are still other people out searching for Christians, of which he's just become one. So what sort of person is God going to put alongside Paul? He must have had lots of questions, quite a lot of issues to work through. Our reading tells us that a few years after he came to faith, he went to Jerusalem to meet with the other believers, but they were afraid of him. I think they were worried it was all a trick. And I don't blame them. I have to say, if there was a religious maniac on the loose in Salisbury and someone said, hey, Rachel, Paul's become a Christian and he wants to meet you and your family, I think I'd be pretty reluctant to let him in through the door, thinking, has he really converted or is this just a trick? But Barnabas was a braver man than me. When others wouldn't meet with Paul for fear of their lives, Barnabas presumably takes a risk and meets Paul. And he is the one who later encourages the church that Paul has indeed become a Christian, that he can be trusted, and that he has actually been preaching in the name of Jesus. So who is Barnabas, this brave man? I have to say, before I prepared for the talk, I didn't really know much about him, but he sounds like a really great guy. He's a mature believer. He's a Christian who has a strong faith in Jesus, and he's a good man. He's such an encouraging person that his friends have changed his name from Joseph to Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He's generous. He sold a field and gave the money to the church to benefit the poor. And this is quite exceptional in his case because the Bible also says he was a Levite and they didn't own land according to the law. They benefited from the temple's offerings. They weren't landowners. So it's quite unusual for him to have any land, and even more amazing that he would give that away. He's also an exceptional preacher and evangelist. Acts 11 tells us that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. So he's clearly good at what he does if that many people are coming to know God. So what can we learn from how Barnabas discipled Paul? Well, firstly, he takes a risk. As we know, Paul was a dangerous man prior to his conversion. But even knowing this, Barnabas has taken a risk and he's got to know him and presumably had a hand in discipling him. He probably answered a lot of questions for Paul. He'd been a believer for some time, much like my church leaders answered questions for me when I became a Christian. Barnabas stands alongside him. He introduces him to other believers, and I think he helps him to find his place in the church body. Linking it to us, the people we disciple are unlikely to be hardened criminals like Paul was, but it can still be a risk to talk about our faith, can't it? It's risky to be honest about our beliefs and our thoughts and to invite people into our lives. It can be risky to get into conversations about faith. What if they disagree with us or they ask something that you don't know the answer to? And it can be a risk to just give up our time to spend with other people. Secondly, we learn that Barnabas encourages or allows Paul to work with him. We can see from the passage that they're co-workers, they're in a partnership, and the passage we've read today uses the words they and them a lot, which suggests that they did a lot of this stuff together. They work together, they make disciples, they heal people, they preach together, they appoint elders together, they go on missionary trips and so on. As in any great partnership, Barnabas complements Paul's weaknesses with his own strengths. And I think reading through the book of Acts, we can see that they were a fantastic team and God did a really amazing things through them. So we need to think, how can we team up together to learn from one another or to partner with others who've been doing what we feel called to for longer than us, much like I've turned to Kerry for help. Once the person has discovered a faith, are we trying to model our faith to them, showing them how we pray, how we read the Bible, how we hear from God, or are we inviting them to minister alongside us to see how it's done? Thirdly, he spots Paul's gifts. Paul quite clearly has a talent for preaching and evangelism, and Barnabas encourages him to use that. And actually, over time, Barnabas is then surpassed by Paul. Barnabas is himself a really gifted preacher and evangelist and a really mature believer, but Paul then surpasses him in both power and boldness. But it doesn't seem to intimidate Barnabas. He doesn't seem to be bothered about being overshadowed. He doesn't say, right, well, you go that way and I'm going to go on to this town, you know, have his own kind of ministry. He still works with Paul. Where could we be spotting someone else's gifting and enabling them to move more in that area? And try not to feel insecure if they then seem more gifted than us in that area. Fourthly, Barnabas didn't disqualify himself. He could have thought that Paul was too hard to work with. He was quite a determined, headstrong guy. He might have thought he wasn't good enough to work with Paul, who was quite clearly an incredibly gifted man. Are there people that we think we're not good enough to disciple? Or are there people that we write off thinking they'd be a struggle to support? We may feel that way, but we must try not to be intimidated or that we have nothing to teach. We've got to remember they're growing into Jesus, not us. Barnabas wasn't trying to produce another Barnabas. He was trying to help Paul to grow to be more like Jesus. So don't disqualify yourself from discipling others because you feel that you haven't got what it takes or you think you're not going to be a good enough example. Remember that they're not following you, they're following Jesus. I'm so grateful for the people who've journeyed with me, even the ones who felt they weren't good enough to. They really helped me to have the strong faith that I've got today, and that's honestly the greatest gift. And being someone who enjoys coming alongside others and discipling them, it's honestly such a joy to see people to grow closer to God and to be more used by him. I spoke about how Barnabas had a strong faith and how Paul came to faith in Jesus, that he decided that Jesus was actually who he said he was. But what about you? What do you believe about Jesus? Maybe you believe like Barnabas that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe you believe he was a good man, but you're not sure about the God bit. Maybe you've never really considered it, or maybe you just don't believe that he ever existed. But whatever you believe, I'd encourage you to think again about whether Jesus is who he said he was, that he is the Son of God. Because we've all done stuff wrong, things that we'd be ashamed of other people knowing about. And these sins kind of separate us from God. They get in the way of us coming close to him, because God is holy and he can't be in the presence of sin. So Jesus stepped in. He's the answer to this, because he took the punishment for our sins on the cross, so that we could be reconciled to God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to eternal life and to heaven. We all need him in our lives. And I didn't always believe in God, but I can tell you my life was transformed the day that I believed it was true, and my life continues to be better off with God in it than it is without him. So we're going to move now into a time of ministry. I'm going to invite Matt back up. I'd encourage you to think about who you're discipling, who you're supporting, or who's discipling you. Are there people you know who are further on in their faith than you, or further on in their gifting? Or where are you at with faith? Are you asking God to reveal himself and for someone to journey with? Or are you a believer looking for someone else to come alongside? So we're going to have some time now to respond.
So I thought it might be good, like, if we just stay where we are. You might want to close your eyes. Dan might want to twiddle a little bit. It's up to you. And I thought we'd just give us a chance. You might want to close your eyes and just ask God, who's here, what does he want to say to you this morning? Maybe it's something that Rachel said that's really struck home. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you're not used to prayer, but actually he's here. I was interviewing a guy the other week who just become a Christian. And he said, "I wish someone told me God wasn't far away, that he's actually close. And that if I just spent a bit of time and just opened the door to him, actually he'd be up for talking to me." So as Dan just plays quietly, let's just maybe close our eyes and just ask God, what is it you want to say to me this morning? What is it you want to remind me about? And we'll just spend a couple of moments with that. Father, none of us were born knowing you. There were no people in the hospital who were divided at birth into religious people and not. We all needed to find you for ourselves. Wherever we are on that journey, you see us, you know us, you've known us every day since we were born. And we want to know you better. Would you just put on our minds now people perhaps that we could learn from? And perhaps if we're a little bit further forwards and we've had a faith for a while, people who we might come alongside and say, would you like to learn from me as well, and to pray together and to support each other? So maybe just ask God to put in your mind just the faces of people who could help you on your journey, wherever you're at. God, thank you for the example of Paul and Barnabas, that Paul had done the most horrible things. And yet, even though you knew all that, you welcomed him and you loved him and you forgave him and you washed him clean and you welcomed him to your family. Thank you that you welcome us too, that you love us, that you like us.